There's more upheaval for the National Disability Insurance Scheme, with the boss of the organisation responsible for the multi-billion dollar rollout quitting after less than 2 years in that job. Rob De Luca's resignation from the National Disability Insurance Agency, the NDIA, is effective immediately. He's going to take up a job with a private healthcare provider that gets a large amount of its income under the NDIS. Disability advocates are now waiting to see who will replace Rob De Luca. Matthew Bowden is the co-CEO of People with Disability Australia. Matthew, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning.
Rob De Luca was brought in by Social Services Minister Christian Porter. He was a former boss of Bankwest. He's been with the NDIA, I think, for less than 2 years. Are you surprised at this announcement?
We were really, really surprised by the announcement, you know, especially in the middle of an election campaign that, you know, the senior person heading up the agency decides to step down at that point.
Is there a bit of a churn going on here? I mean, Rob De Luca only took over in August 2017. The rollout hadn't been going all that wrong before then. Is this indicate something is problematic within the organisation in your view?
Well, there certainly are problems with the agency, and there are certainly problems with the rollout of the scheme. I mean, we're really concerned that there isn't a disability-led scheme that we've always wanted, always been calling for. This is our scheme. We need it to be governed and led by people with disability. It's only people with disability who have a deep understanding of our lives, of the issues that we are facing. So this gives the government the opportunity to reset the culture of the agency and bring the agency back to what the scheme was set up to deliver and what the principles of the scheme were around people with disability having, you know, a scheme that they're entitled to, that it's not sort of led by economic rationalism, that there isn't a cost-saving drive as the main sort of focus of the scheme.
Can I just interrupt you there, Matthew? I mean, as I mentioned, Rob De Luca was former head of Bankwest. A lot of the executives he's brought in are former Bankwest senior employees. Are you saying that you think the NDIA has been, led making its decisions on economic rationalist principles rather than on what's best for people with disability?
Absolutely. Every day we are contacted by people with disability who are unable to get into the scheme, despite being clearly eligible as scheme participants. We're also hearing from people all the time about their plans being cut back, so their funding being reduced so that they don't have the supports that they can get. And all the time we're hearing stories about the delays of people getting supports and equipment, you know, people waiting for 2 years to get a wheelchair. It's like essential equipment and essential services. The scheme isn't moving quickly enough for people with disability. It's hampered by several things, including the staffing cap. There just isn't a quick enough turnaround on decisions and a responsiveness to people's changing circumstances, so that reviews can take months and months, and people with disability don't get any information back from the agency. So these are massive problems that need to be addressed.
Okay, I'll come back to some of those. Some of those are sort of government directive too, not just a factor of the leadership, I suppose. But you said initially you need the NDIA to be led and governed by people with disability. Are you saying it's time for a person with disability to be put in charge? Is that what you're calling for, or are you happy?
Absolutely.
So we are. So you want positive discrimination for the CEO's job?
Indeed, yeah. We think it's really, really important that the scheme needs to be governed and led by people with disabilities, so that then we have the scheme that we need. You know, we're calling on there being a majority of staff with disability, you know, a minimum of 51%. Presently, there is around 12% of staff with disability, but we know and we hear from staff that there are issues around the culture for staff members with disability not having their accommodations, their needs met in a positive way and a quick way. So there are absolutely sort of cultural issues there, and we need to see people with disability in all levels of the organisation, including in those leadership roles.
It's 18 to 9. Our guest is Matthew Bowden. Matthew is co-CEO of People with Disability Australia. No matter who is CEO, Matthew, there's still government rules, and the cap, as I understand it, the employment cap was the staff ratio cap was a government instruction, wasn't it?
That's right. Yes, it was imposed by the government.
Has that been lifted now, do you know?
It hasn't been lifted, and we absolutely need it to be lifted. I mean, there has been
explain the impact of that, can you?
Well, the impact is that, you know, the agency needs to farm out a lot of its work. So a lot of it ends up with consultants, and there's been a massive, spend in the area of consultancy, close to $500 million in the last year. So that's enormous. It means that the expertise is being built in, you know, large consultancy firms, whereas the expertise needs to be held within the agency. Otherwise, you know, it's always going to sort of be bleeding money to consultants and not having that knowledge in-house to do the best thing for people with disability.
The federal budget papers revealed that there'd been a slower than expected uptake of NDIS services. Now, people using those services say that's because they can't get access to them. Either the computer system isn't good enough, or the services aren't there available for them, or the rules are such that they can't get their level of disability dealt with under the scheme. In response to that, the government's announced a raft of NDIS price increases, at least for those services who are there in the industry, to try and stop them walking away, including an $11 an hour rise for therapy supports. Do you think that's going to make a difference, or the difference?
Pricing is important. It's really important that people with disability are able to pay workers, you know, a decent wage, because, you know, when people are paid a decent wage, you get a better quality of service, and people with disability absolutely want, you know, that fairness. But it's also important that we have an equal enjoyment of the scheme for people with disability. We currently don't see that. So we're having people with disability who are still being forced into sharing housing, sharing disability supports with other people that they're not related to. They don't want to be sharing those supports. And it's the same, you know, there's been no change in their lives from the, you know, broken state-based systems to the National Disability Insurance Scheme. They're still compelled into institutions, and the money isn't being spent in a way that is giving people true choice and control, and people to have sort of flexibility to choose who their provider is and where they live and with whom they live. You know, we still have almost 6,000 young people with disability who are forced to live in nursing homes, and young people with disability are still moving into nursing homes, okay, despite us having the NDIS, and that's a travesty.
Matthew Bowden, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Matthew Bowden is the co-CEO of People with Disability Australia, and this news is that the head of the National Disability Insurance Agency has resigned suddenly. He's going to take up a job as CEO of Zenitas Healthcare, which receives a large 20%, I think, of its forecast income stream from the NDIS in the current financial year. So there's obviously a link there between those roles. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8:45.